Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Brother Jeff. And it's so good to see him and his wife again after 15 years. I don't think we tried to think we might have seen each other somewhere since then, but they were in Brazil 15 years ago, and they were a blessing to us. We tried to keep them, but they thought they had to come back here. I appreciate the singing today. It's wonderful to sing these Christmas songs, isn't it? It's a shame that we're seasonal, isn't it? I guess they mean more to us since we just sing them at Christmas time. And the children did real good this morning. That was a blessing to hear the children sing. So we've been thinking about Brother Jeff and his family and hoping that it would work out so we would be able to come and see them again and see you folks, the congregation here. And the Lord worked it out today. We are visiting with our daughter Rebecca and her husband over in Nashville, and so she agreed to bring us over today. We flew from North Carolina to Nashville. I may be getting too old to drive that trip. I'm not sure. Not as young as I used to be. Now that's a deep statement, isn't it? It's Christmas time again, and I know that God's going to bless your program tonight. I know it's going to be a blessing. If you would turn with me to the book of Galatians, we're going to read our introduction, and then later we're going for another passage for our message. But in Galatians chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. I want us just to notice a thing or two here. This is the introduction. Going back to the end of this verse, when the fullness of the time was come. You know, the book of Genesis speaks of the coming of Jesus. Genesis 3:15. Much time passed. But you know, God never fails in His promises, does He? He always does what He said He would do. And so He waited to His time. When the fullness of the time came, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. You know, it's a mystery, isn't it? Now, Joseph couldn't be the father of Jesus, because Jesus was perfect, and He wouldn't have been perfect if Joseph had generated Him. So the Holy Spirit, Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. And I still believe that truth, don't you? And Jesus became a man, the God-man, and that's a mystery. How He was 100% man and 100% God. I don't understand it, but I believe it. I know it happened, and I know the wonderful thing about it is, some people don't realize this, but Jesus took on His fleshly body, took on His manhood, and He hasn't left it yet. Did you know that? He went back to heaven in His resurrected human body, and He's still the God-man in heaven, and He ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. So I just wanted to point out that this verse kind of is an introduction. He says in verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, we might receive the adoption of sons. And as we know, and the world doesn't know, unfortunately, that Jesus is the only hope of the human race. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so today we want to, you'll be talking about Jesus, I'm sure, in the manger tonight, perhaps. But I want us to go on further this morning, because he said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he didn't do that as a baby. That was a wonderful birth when Jesus, the God became a man. That was a wonderful thing. But it started it all. And Jesus went to Calvary. And there, in our stead and in our place, paid the full price of our sins, satisfied the holiness and the justice of God, and paid the full price for our sins that we might be redeemed. And I want us to talk about this morning what it means to be redeemed. I want us to go to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians, chapter 1. I'm going to read some more verses here, and from these verses I'll take my message this morning. Chapter 1, verse 12. We're breaking into a sentence here. It says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet," or fit, "to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin." May we have a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank You this morning for the privilege to be with Brother Jeff and his congregation. We thank You for the privilege to be together in Your presence. We thank You for the Lord Jesus. We can't thank You enough for Him, because our hope, He's our hope for this life and for eternity. And we pray today, as we examine this passage of Scripture, that You would open our understandings and our hearts, and pray that You would help us to draw nearer to You as Christians. And if there should be someone here that hasn't yet surrendered to Jesus Christ, His Savior and Lord, that this will be the day that they'll embrace Jesus Christ by faith and know what it is to be in Your kingdom. And pray that You'd help Your servant now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. In verse 12, it speaks about being partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, that's just a few words, but it's a tremendous thought, because we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And we've already participated in that heirship, the inheritance. We already. But it will be perfected when we get to glory. It will be completed when we get to glory. And so I want us to notice verse 13, and we're going to dwell here a little bit. He says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." Now I want us to start with this phrase, the power of darkness. I want us to stop here a little while. That's talking about spiritual darkness. It's talking about the dominion of darkness. And it's talking about the place where our world that's unsaved is today. They're in this dominion of darkness. And people wouldn't want to hear this, but it's true. Jesus said on one occasion, He said to some Pharisees that, of course, they were religious but lost. And he said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do." Satan is the god of unbelievers. in this world. And there are at least two other places that the Bible calls lost people children of the devil. Now that sounds strong and harsh, but it's real today. It's the truth. I was in that realm. I was in that dominion of darkness. And thank the Lord at 14 years old, I'm sorry I waited that long, but at 14 years old, God delivered me from that dominion of darkness and brought me into His glorious kingdom, the kingdom of light. And that's where people are today. Lost people are in the dominion of darkness. And we wonder sometimes, we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and it's such a blessing. And it seemed to be so simple that for people to be able to get saved, because Jesus will save them if they'll come to Him. And it seems so simple, and sometimes it's hard for us to understand why that people don't accept Jesus Christ. It's because that the God of this world, Paul said, the God of this world have blinded the minds of those that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ shine unto them. It's Satan's activity to keep people in his kingdom, to keep people in that realm of spiritual darkness. And that's why they don't understand. Some of them think we're crazy gathering this morning in the rain to meet here and have a service. They don't comprehend it because they're blind spiritually. They can't comprehend, and Satan doesn't want them to comprehend. And every time we try to win someone to the Lord, you better know that Satan is doing his work to bind them and to blind them and to keep them from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and know Him as their personal Savior. So today, the world is not just lost, but they're in the dominion of darkness. They're under the control of Satan, who is the god of this present evil world. Now, we're in the world, but we're not of the world anymore. Is that right? Yeah, we've been delivered. And I want to talk about that a minute. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Delivered us. Deliver here, we could say, rescued us. And he, like we said, Jesus said He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was His mission. He didn't come. Some people say that He came just to demonstrate the love of God. Well, it did demonstrate the love of God. But it goes beyond just demonstrating the love of God. Jesus came to deliver people from the power of darkness, to deliver people from their lostness, to deliver people from this spiritual blindness, and bring them to the place that they can serve and know the Lord and can serve Him. And so He rescued us. But people have to be, they have to get to the place that they are willing to die to self, and they're willing to believe on Jesus Christ, repent of their sins and believe on Jesus Christ, and they've got to be born again of the Spirit of God. And they've got to come to that place. The Holy Spirit has to do His work. Salvation is more than just people knowing how to quote Scripture. I remember one lady down in Brazil in Barbacena. We were working with the family, and Sue was working with this lady. And she did a study course on great salvation, and she learned all those Scriptures. She could quote you the Scripture. She could tell you intellectually. She could tell you what you had to do to get saved. But she didn't get saved then. She got saved later. She went to Rio for a vacation, near Rio for a vacation. And it came a terrible rainstorm, and there was slides, rock slides, and mud slides. And she was trying to get home, and she had to do detours. And she finally, she said, she prayed this prayer. She told us this later. She said, "Lord, if You let me get home safely, I'll go to that church and I'll receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior." It's only then that she got saved and her life was changed. When she knew what to do, but she didn't get saved until she did it. Until she believed on Jesus Christ and was born again of the Spirit of God. So we were rescued from the kingdom of darkness, and we were transferred. We can use that. Now, when you got saved, I'm sure you didn't move your dress physically, perhaps. Somebody may have. But we were changed and we were moved. We were taken out of, we were rescued from this realm of darkness, from the power of darkness, and we were transported to the kingdom of His dear Son, and the kingdom of light. We had that move. I can remember when I got saved. I didn't like to go to church before I was saved. I cried sometimes when they made me, my mother and daddy made me go at our house. When it was time to go to church, it wasn't any questioning whether we were going or not. We knew to go. And so I went with them to a church that they, where a pastor they knew had pastored their church previously, about 20 miles from our house. And I went with them. They asked me to go, and I went, and I enjoyed the singing. I didn't know what he preached about, but I enjoyed the singing. And so that week afterwards, I said to Mother, I said, when are we going back to that church? And she told my dad, and they said, we're going next Sunday back to that church. And so we went to that church. And I can remember that night how that message that the preacher preached, God used it to just burden my heart, convict me of my sins. I felt so condemned and so lost that I thought if I didn't get things right with God while I was there, that I'd go to hell. And I remember that night stepping out from where I was seated and walking the aisle and accepting Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I remember going home that night, riding in the car, looking out the car window at the moon. It was a full moon, I think, that night. That was the most beautiful moon I'd ever seen. The moon wasn't any different. It was the same, but this old boy was changed. And when I got home, my parents knew something had happened to me. Because I hate to admit it, but I responded a lot to my mother and caused her to cry at times. But that didn't happen anymore. They knew something had happened. And we lived on a farm, and we were back before the days of the tractors. And we plowed with the mules and horses. And I think even the mules knew that something had happened to me, because I didn't treat them as badly as I did before. Because I was made a new creature because God had taken me from that kingdom of darkness. And He had transported me spiritually into the kingdom of His dear Son, the kingdom of light. Amen. And so that's what Christmas, folks, is all about. It started in the manger. It started in Bethlehem. It started when Jesus became a man and was the God-man. But it didn't stop there. He went all the way to Calvary for us. And then He went to Calvary because He said to redeem, in whom we have been redeemed through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I believe in the blood, don't you? I believe that Jesus shed His blood and He died, and He died to satisfy God's holiness. God was a holy God, and He can't have fellowship with sin. And so Jesus took on Himself the wickedness of this world. He took on Himself the wickedness of America. Right now, what's happening in America, Jesus took on Himself those sins as well as the sins of the entire world. And He went there to satisfy the holiness of God, to pay the price so that we could have forgiveness of our sins. And so we could be in the kingdom of His dear Son, the kingdom of light. And we could be participators. We could participate. in the kingdom. We could participate in the inheritance of the saints in light. And you know when it happened with you. I feel sure you know. You remember when you got saved. You remember the difference that it made in your life. And you came out of darkness, spiritual darkness, into spiritual light. Jesus is the light of the world. And so we're blessed today. We're in a world that's lost. We're in a country that many people are lost. But we're not of this present evil world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're in the kingdom of light. We're in the kingdom of Jesus Christ because we've been transferred. We've been transported from darkness to light. And then Jesus said that He's the light of the world. But then He said, ye are the light of the world. That doesn't mean that we generate light. That it means that we're in the light that He generated. He is light. He's the light of the world, and we're reflectors. And we're to reflect that light. And that's the reason why we tell people about Jesus. Because Jesus said, you're the light of the world. And a city set on the hillside is not hid, you can see it. And you don't light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light. So He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify you. Is that what He said? And He said, glorify the Father. That's what our lives are to do. Christians, we've got a responsibility to verbally speak to the gospel to people, because He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But we have to show, not only verbally, but people have to see Jesus in us. That's important. We're lights because people can see Jesus in us. And but we go, not only we go to our towns and our areas of the country, but some of us go to other countries. We just had our sister that came back from China for being there 11 years, I believe. And others have gone to other places of the world, some from here and some from other churches. And we spent 40 years of our lives in Brazil. And we had the privilege to start 7 churches in Brazil those years that we were there, and start a Bible Institute. But the whole purpose is to take that light to a blind world. That's the reason we do missions. I know this is a missionary church. I know you have a vision. You have a burden. You're involved. Some of you have visited mission fields, but you're supporting missionaries, and that's what it's all about. Jesus wants to bring more people into His kingdom. And so we've got to preach the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Isn't that wonderful? How it'll work for anybody. It doesn't matter what their nationality is. It doesn't matter whether it's male or female. It doesn't matter if it's young people or older people. The gospel is the power of God for any man that will believe. It's the power of God for any woman that will believe. It's the power of God for any youth, young person that will believe in Jesus Christ. It's the power of God for any child that's old enough to comprehend. It's good for them too. It'll change their lives. So this is what Christmas is all about. It's the light. We talk about the Star of Bethlehem. That's a beautiful song, isn't it? It's a beautiful song. But the spiritual light that Jesus brought to this dark world is what people need to see and to understand, that people can come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the message that I want to leave with you this morning for Christmas. It's a Christmas message, because it's on the other end of the coming of Christ, right? He came in in Bethlehem and was laid in a manger, but he didn't stay a baby. He grew up and went to the cross, and he's provided this salvation. And he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And he said to Nicodemus, no man can, you can't see the kingdom of God. People are spiritually blinded. They can't see the kingdom of God until they are born again of the Spirit of God. And they can't enter into this kingdom of light that it's talking about here until they are born again of the Spirit of God. And then it just, the Lord turns on that light just like that for us, isn't it? We become heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. We participate in the inheritance of the saints in light, the Bible says in verse 12 here. So that's the Christmas message that I wanted to share with you today. I'm so glad that you found Christ. I'm so glad that you're here serving. You're serving the Lord, and you're here today worshiping Him. And we want to give Him glory and honor. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer.